إن الحمد لله نحمده واستعينه واستغفره نعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها فإن كل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. I praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and He's the only one worthy of praise. I seek His help, His guidance, and His forgiveness. I believe in Him and I trust Him. I seek refuge on Almighty Allah from the evil of our passions. Indeed, whomsoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides him to Al-Islam, no one can mislead him after Allah. And whomsoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put him astray, no one can guide him after Allah. I testify openly that there is no deity worthy of worship except Allah Rabbil Alameen. And I testify that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his messenger and the seal of all the prophets. O Muslims, you must know that the best speech is the speech of Almighty Allah, which is the Quran. The best guidance is the course of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The worst of all affairs is innovation and addition to the religion of Al-Islam. Indeed, every addition to the religion of Al-Islam will lead to hellfire. I adjure you as well as myself to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the best of your ability. Fear Allah and don't die unless you are Muslims. I greet you all with the greeting of Al-Islam. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And I welcome you all for our continuation for the explanation of the book Bulugh al-Maram min Adillat al-Ahkam al-Hafiz ibn Hajar al-Asqalani rahimahullah. This is a continuation for the explanation of the book The Attainment of the Objective by al-Hafiz ibn Hajar al-Asqalani. May the mercy of Allah be upon him. Ameen. And today, which is Tuesday, the 28th of Rabi' al-Awwal for the year 1420, which is equivalent to the 13th from July for the year 1999. And this is our third class for the album, the fifth album. We're talking today a continuation for the book of marriage. And today, inshallah, we'll be talking about Babu Ishrat al-Nisa, Babu Ishrat al-Nisa, which is chapter 2, page number 358, and the subject is concerning relations with wives. And this Ishrat al-Nisa is a chapter which dealing with the way how a man should be with his wife, and the same also it talks about how a woman should be with her husband, regardless of whatever behavior or intercourse. So it talks about how a man should deal with his wife in financial aspect, in sexual intercourse aspect, in wording and communication, talking. So Bab Ishrat al-Nisa is the way how a man should live with his wife and how a wife should live with her husband. And this also includes what kind of behavior that they should have to maintain a healthy relationship between themselves, in matter of communication, in matter of patience, in matter of sometimes have to avoid argument and debates and things like this. So inshallah, first hadith in our chapter tonight is hadith number 867 in page number 358 for those who have the book, which has one side in Arabic version and the other side in the English version. Hadith number 867. This hadith عن أبي هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ملعون من أتى امرأة في دبورها. رواه أبو داود والنسائي واللفظ له ورجاله ثقات لكن أعل بالإرسال. This hadith which narrated by Abu Huraira, may Allah be pleased with him, that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, he who has intercourse with a woman through her anus is cursed. And this hadith is reported by Abu Huraira, may Allah be pleased with him. And the hadith in the collection of Imam Abu Dawood and An-Nisa'i, and also in the collection of Imam Ahmad. And the hadith is authentic by other narration, which supported him to make it authentic. Not the hadith authentic by itself, but the hadith is authentic as a supportive of other narration. And the curse means to be kicked out of Allah's mercy. When he says such a thing is cursed or such a person is cursed, that means this person or this act has been cursed, that means it's been being out of Allah's mercy, that is not going to be covered by Allah's mercy and Allah showered by Allah's mercy. And from this hadith we see that this Islam taught us even about what we may call it a private relationship between a man and his woman. And the hadith say, he who has intercourse with a woman, here that means, because in actuality we understand the only relationship is lawful in al-Islam is between a man and his woman. So the hadith is not talking in general about any woman, because even touching a woman that is not lawful for you, that is not your wife, is not lawful Islamically, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had informed us that it is much easier on a person to be stabbed on his head with a dagger or with a knife. This is much better for him than for him to be touching a woman not lawful to him. And one of the famous forms that we see nowadays, man touching a woman, even among a great number of Muslims, shaking the hands. And this is forbidden in al-Islam. So when the hadith saying a woman, because the only woman that a man can have a relationship with her is one of two, is his wife of or the right hand with this. And we understand that nowadays, at least for this time being, there is no right hand with this. So we talking here in the hadith about the wife. So the person who do such act be cursed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this this also shows us that Islam had teach us everything in our life, even about intercourse and relationship with the woman. Other than this, the Islam did not forbid anything between a man and woman in relation or enjoyment, except having intercourse with a woman during her menses. Other than this, we have to limit this to what Allah had limited, and we shouldn't stretch this prohibition to other things that has no dalil, has no evidence from Quran and Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The second hadith, which hadith is number 868, وعن ابن عباس رضي الله تعالى عنهما قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لا ينظر الله إلى رجل أتى رجلا أو امرأة في دبرها. رواه الترمذي والنسائي وابن حبان وأعل بالوقف. The hadith reported by Ibn Abbas, may Allah be pleased with him. And the hadith in the collection of Imam al-Tirmidhi and Nisa'i ibn Hibban, and the hadith again authentic as a result of other supportive narration, so we call it sahih bishawahid, or that as other hadith came admitted sahih, is not sahih by itself, so it's still acceptable. And the hadith here is saying that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not look at a man who has intercourse with a man or a woman through the anus. Now the two terms here about through the anus, that mean in the anus itself. And also the hadith is similar to the previous hadith. The only thing here, that addition, that liwat, and the liwat for a man to have intercourse with another man, and this also forbidden by al-Islam. And the hadith is showing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not look at those two kind of people who committing these crimes. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't look to somebody, that means this person will be neglected out of the mercy of Allah and the forgiveness of Allah. And this shows that how that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not going to look at him, that means Allah will be angry at him. The next hadith, which hadith number 869, in the same page, عن أبي هريرة رضي الله تعالى عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال من كان يؤمن بالله واليوم الآخر فلا يؤذي جاره واستوصوا بالنساء خيرا فإنهن خلقنا من ضلع وإن أعوج شيء في الضلع أعلاه فإن ذهبت تقيمه كسرته وإن تركته لم يزل أعوج فاستوصوا بالنساء خيرا. متفق عليه. This hadith, which hadith number 869, reported by Abu Huraira, may Allah be pleased with him. The hadith in the collection of Imam al-Bukhari and Imam Muslim, rahmatullahi alayhima, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is seen, what the meaning is, whosoever believe in Allah and the day of judgment, let him not disturb his neighbor, and be kind to women. Indeed, they've been created from a crooked part of a rib, and it is the tub. And if you try to straighten this rib, that you will break it. And if you leave it with its crookedness, is going to continue to be crooked. So take my advice regarding the good treatment to the women. As I said, this hadith is authentic, and the hadith here ties the relationship between believing in Allah and the day of judgment and the behavior of a person. Because if a person believes in Allah and he believes in the day of judgment, this will have impact on his daily behavior. So the iman is not only memorizing few words or only have it in the heart. It's like a seed. You lay down the seed in the heart, but the fruit of this seed, it have to show in your behavior and how you acting and how you dealing with others. So as a result of the believer believing in Allah and believing in the day of judgment, believing that he's going to meet with Allah in the day of judgment and that he's going to question him about his deed, so as a result of this, he's going to watch his action, especially with his neighbor, the people who live surrounded him, to his right, to his left, in front of him, behind him. Those neighbors, they have a right over you, regardless if this neighbor is Muslim or non-Muslim. Being a neighbor living beside you, now he has a special treatment and a special right over you. So those who believe in Allah and the day of judgment, they shouldn't annoy, disturb their neighbors by any means. It can be by loud music, it can be by putting the trash in front of their doors, or being allowing the kids to run in front of their doors and disturbing their naps, or whatever means that can be any disturbance is not supposed to be done. And whatever disturb you, you have to consider not to do it to others. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam also is saying, wastawsu bin nisa'i khayra, take my advice regarding the good treatment with women. So those who believe in the day of judgment, those who believe in the day of judgment, those who believe in Allah, those who believe in the messengership of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they have to adhere to the advice and the recommendation of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What they have to do to adhere to this, so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, to treat women with goodness, be patient with them, be nice to them. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam telling us something about the nature of the women, and this is something very important for every man to understand this nature, otherwise he is not going to be able to deal with women in general, regardless if his daughter or a sister, and specifically we're talking about wife. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying, فَإِنَّهُنَّ خُلِقْنَا مِنْ ضِلَعْ, indeed women being created from a rib. Okay, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the woman from the man, and when he created her, she came originally from the rib of Adam. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying, she been created from the rib, and you know how the rib look, because each one of us, he has ribs, okay, surrounded your chest. You can see what it, the nature of it, what it is crooked, okay, especially the top part has more curve and more crookedness. So this is the nature that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had created the rib, and the woman came from the rib. So it has the same nature. It has crookedness, shortcoming. The fuse is so short, okay? Is this the way we can understand it? So if a man want to go against the nature which Allah had created the woman in, by attempting to straighten this rib, okay, to straighten her nature, to make her perfect. She didn't answer him back. She always, yes sir, and jump or all the things, okay, or to shut up and shut up, whatever it is when he start to get angry. Is not going to be. Why? Because she has this crookedness in her. So if you want to straighten her and you want her to be in the manner that you want, what's going to happen? That you will break the rib. Okay? And you can imagine if this rib surrounding your heart, if it's straight, it will go through the skin. Okay? You will be bleeding. Now they take you to the hospital. But out of Allah's wisdom that He made this rib to be curved and to be crooked. And this is the only way it can be. So this is the nature of the woman. If you will understand her crookedness and that you're going to be patient with her, okay, that means you're going to have some of the goodness that in her, because it's not everything is wrong. Not she is not piece of dirt, okay? She still have something good in her. So if you try to change this crookedness and this illness and this shortcoming in her manner and in her behavior, you're going to break it. What is the, how you're going to break the rib? That mean you're going to send her home. You're going to divorce her. You are not going to be you and her under the same roof. But Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying to us, and if you leave it alone, it will remain crooked. Okay? If you remain, if you leave it. Not that mean we're saying that we leave the woman curse and let the woman, you understand, cursing and jumping and hitting the roof, all the things. We still have to correct, we still have to advise, we still have to admonish, okay? But it will be some changes and some improvement, but it's not going to be the way you want it, okay? It's not going to be 100%. And if you leave it, okay, what's going to happen? So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, it remains crooked. So, what you going to do? So, Rasulullah sallam said, so take my advice regarding the good treatment with women, okay? So, this is the wasiyah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and our love to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and our responsibility to adhere to the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his order, that we have to should to try our best, that be patient with them, and that be good to them to the best of our ability, inshallah. And never be expecting that they will be to us as we want. And some scholars, they explain this crookedness on the top of the, they said the top is the tongue, okay? This is the top. The highest part of her body and her head is the tongue. And the crookedness is here. And this basically is what almost bring about problems, okay? I tell her, I told you, leave it alone, you understand? She says, I'm not, and she keep talking, and she keep talking, and after this, a man get angry, and maybe, you understand, he hit her, or whatever he do to her, cause she don't have the control over this tongue, and she, if she lock it up and jail it, she will be in a better situation. But this is our test, okay? And as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَجَعَلْنَا بَعْضَكُمْ لِبَعْضٍ فِتْنَةً أَتَصْبِرُونَ. Indeed, we made one of you as a trial for the other. Are you going to have patience? So indeed, a woman is a trial for the man, and we have to understand also that the man is a trial for the woman. Hadith number 870 عن جابر رضي الله تعالى عنه قال كنا مع النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم في غزاة فلما قدمنا المدينة ذهبنا لندخل فقال أمهلوا حتى تدخلوا ليلة يعني عشاء لكي تنشط الشعثة وتستحد المغيبة. This hadith which narrated by Jabir, may Allah be pleased with him. Hadith in the collection of Imam al-Bukhari as well Imam Muslim rahmatullah alayhuma. The hadith is authentic. And Jabir reported that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that he said, we were with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in expedition or in a battle. So when we arrived to Al-Madinah and we about to go approach our houses, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us, don't go to your houses now, wait, be patient, okay? Wait until the night is over and give a chance to women to wash their hair and comb it and shave and remove hair that's supposed to be removed. Usually that in the absence of the husband, that maybe some of the women, they did not take good care of themselves or don't pay attention too much to the hygiene of themselves. And as a result of a husband coming from a long trip and approaching his wife in this position, he may him be a disturbance for him or for her. So we see in this hadith how that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam teaching us the proper way that a person should approach his wife after a long trip, and how that the woman supposed to be taking care of herself and beautify herself and clean herself and to be available for her husband. The hadith is emphasized the dislikeness of a man surprising his woman by coming out of town and surprising her without letting her know that he is in town. And this also out of the gentleness of Islam, the way how we're supposed to be dealing with the women. And also that Islam shows that the woman supposed to be doing whatever in her means to make her husband love her and to be in a way presentable to him. And also the Islam shows us that how a woman should be concerning about fulfilling the desire of her husband in the best manner and best fashion. And that both husband and wife should be concerned about having this physical relationship which leads eventually to have children, which part of purpose of marriage, and that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had encouraged us to do so. And also the hadith discouraging us to approach the woman in a condition that he maybe is not prepared to be with her husband. And also the Islam teaching us about the necessity of removing such hair that is not supposed to be, and this has nothing to do with the change in the creation of Allah, because we understand that Islam forbid changing the creation of Allah, and part of it that as example a numbs, which removing certain hair from the body in certain places. Some scholars said this only related to the face surrounding the area of the eyebrows, and some scholars said that any hair in the body of the woman is not supposed to be removed, and this is still under the classification of numbs. But in the understanding that there is other parts of the body like under the arms and the private parts, this is Islam encouraging us to remove this hair. So removing this hair is a means of being clean and worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The hadith reported by Jabir we were alone with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam on expedition. Then we were arrived to Al-Madinah and were about to enter. He said, wait so that you may enter by night. So that you may enter by night. I.e. in the evening, in order that women, okay, that mean wait for a while, wait, don't approach the houses right away, wait, for, give it a chance, give them time. I.e. in the evening, in order that a woman with disheveled hair may comb it, and the woman whose husband has been away may shave her private hairs. Getting ready for her husband. The hadith is authentic. And another narration, which is by Al-Bukhari, which is authentic. إذا طال أحدكم الغيبة الغيبة فلا يترك أهله ليلا. When one of you has been away from home for a long time, he must not come to his family during night. Okay. Because this also, it can be some kind of disturbance or showing that a man, he is not trusting his wife. Alhamdulillah, with this so-called modern communication nowadays, that if people can have different means and ways to let their family know that they about to approach or what time they return and all these things. So this now, as long as the fulfillment of the hadith taking place, so it's no problem that the person can go to his house as long as his wife expecting him. But basically is the point not to be surprising the wife. Hadith number 871, وعن أبي سعيد الخدري رضي الله تعالى عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إن شر الناس عند الله منزلة يوم القيامة الرجل يفضي إلى امرأته وتفضي إليه ثم ينشر سرها. The hadith is in the collection of Imam Muslim رحمة الله عليه. And the hadith is reported by Abu Sa'id al-Khudri, may Allah be pleased with him, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying what the meaning is. The worst of people in the position before Allah in the day of judgment or the day of resurrection is a man who has intercourse with his wife and she with him and then spreads their secrets. Okay? Now again, this hadith, as I said, is authentic. And the hadith, it teaches us about whatever happened between a man and a woman in privacy, this not anybody else's business, okay? And they are not supposed to be talking about these things to other people. And that these things have to be only for the husband and for the wife, as long as there is no a necessity to be talking about it. As example, we may give a example like for a medical reason, that maybe understand that the man or the woman have to tell the doctor that when you understand such a thing happen, I feel this or feel that. Other than this, that this will be in the worst position in the day of judgment for somebody be talking about things like this. Again, we understand from this hadith how is Islam concerned about protecting the families, okay? And how that the man should be kind to his wife as well as the wife being to her husband, and they have to respect this relationship and to understand this is something only to be between them. Hadith number 872, this is page number 360. وعن حكيم بن معاوية عن أبيه قال قلت يا رسول الله ما حق زوجي أحدنا عليه قال تطعمها اذا اكل وتكسوها اذا اكتسى ولا تضرب الوجه ولا تقبح ولا تهجر الا في البيت. رواه احمد وابو داود والنسائي وابن ماجه. ده حديث reported by حكيم بن معاوية. حديث is authentic. ده حديث in the collection of الامام احمد ابو داود ابن ماجه ابن حبان والحاكم. This Sahabi, may Allah be pleased with him, asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, a messenger of Allah, what is the rights of a wife of one of us on her husband? He replied, you should give her food when you eat, clothe her when you clothe yourself, not strike her on the face, and don't reveal her or desert her except within the house. So from this hadith we understand that it's not permissible for the man to be cursing his wife, and that nafaqa, which is spending and maintaining the woman financially by feeding her and clothing her and sheltering her, is obligation of the man, not the woman. This is the obligation of the man. This is the right of the wife upon her husband. And we have to understand that this according the means of the man, okay? That spending is supposed to be according the means of the man, not because the woman demand certain things it have to be fulfilled, okay? But the husband to spend accordingly, according his means, and she shouldn't put demands on him and conditions that to make him turn to the haram, gambling or stealing or doing other jobs that is not supposed to be done to have extra money. So as long as the man is working and putting enough hours, and this as much as he can get, so the woman have to learn to live according the means of her husband. Also the hadith shows us the permissibility for a man to discipline his wife if is necessary, if there is a necessity rise up, okay? Because the discipline is not supposed to take place if everything running in the proper way, okay? If she's taking care of her, if she's taking care of her obligation towards the house, towards the husband, towards her children, okay? That he's not supposed to discipline her. So the discipline when she break the rules, okay? And the discipline does not have to be physically, it can be by words also, okay? And if this didn't work, it may take another means, okay? Like separation in the bed as example, and it may take another means beyond even separation of the bed if all these previous means didn't take place. But we understand basically the discipline have to be accordingly if necessity rise up, and not to be a matter of abuse. As example, the face have to be respected, the private parts have to be respected, the not to be abusing her in the manner of his discipline, because he meant with this a discipline, not revenge, or as example hitting in the face, hitting the private parts, bruises, leaving marks in the skin and things like this. And also we understand that one of the means that a man, as I said, he can use other means, which is that boycotting here. This is also can be a other means. But basically, if the woman has stopped the wrong that she's doing, the man also have to give up this means of discipline and try to make peace. The next hadith, which is hadith number 874, in page number 360. وعن ابن عباس رضي الله تعالى عنهما قال لو أن أحدكم إذا أراد أن يأتي أهله قال بسم الله اللهم جنبنا الشيطان وجنب الشيطان ما رزقتنا فإنه إن قدر إن يقدر إن يقدر إن يقدر بينهما ولد في ذلك لم يضره الشيطان أبدا متفق عليه. The hadith reported by Ibn Abbas. May Allah be pleased with him. Hadith in the collection of Imam al-Bukhari and Muslim. The hadith is authentic. That Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying what the meaning is, if one of you intends to have intercourse with his wife, says in the name of Allah, O Allah, keep us away from the devil and keep the devil away from what you have provided us. Should it be ordained that a child be born to them, thereby no devil will never harm it. Okay? As I said, the hadith is authentic. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also teaching us again about the adab and the discipline of approaching our women. And one of this means that a person to utter the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala before the intercourse. And there's a person to say Bismillah in the name of Allah, Allahumma jannibna shaytan. And there's a person have to say this dua in Arabic, not in English. Okay, it have to be said in Arabic. We need to learn it. And by saying jannibna shaytan wa jannib shaytana marazaktana, this will explain specifically the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which he is saying that the shaitan will attend son of Adam affairs, all his affairs. Whatever son of Adam do, the shaitan is there. Try to share with him food, intercourse, sleeping, anything. He's always with you and he try to share whatever that you're doing. So this is specifically showing that if the person did not utter the name of Allah, that the shaitan will be doing this with him. Same thing like when you don't say Bismillah when you eat. The shaitan will be eating with you. And it is very important to understand how Islam is concerned about protection of the children. Okay? Protection of the children physically and spiritually and on all means is not when the child born, when he's 5 years old, or don't let him watch TV now, or don't let him hang with the kafirun now. No, protection of the shaitan, of the children comes even before the conception. The conception of the children. You see, the preparation even is not even during the intercourse, it comes even before even the marriage. And we mentioned this before, that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said marry the woman before because her religion. So this shows us how Islam is so concerned about protection of the children. Okay? And this is something that we have to prepare for it in advance, not after the child is born or now he's in fifth grade, now say, oh, now we're going to keep him home, or we take him from the public school, or we're going to give him home education because now he's getting big, he's going to start learning things. No, believe it or not, you understand, 1 year old, they already learn things, okay? And this is the reason that these children that you always keep picking them up, okay? When nobody pick him up, he already know how to get his way by crying. And he will keep insist crying until somebody pick him up. When he pick him up, this is it. he become up and he sits, he cry. When you stand up with him or her, they stop because they know. They already learn the difference between sitting and standing, and they know how they can make you meet their demand. They are not stupid, okay? But sometimes we may act stupid by thinking that they don't know, okay? We're the one who don't know, okay? So preparation and protection for the children comes in very, very early age. So the person supposed to say, Allahumma jannibna shaitan. Oh Allah, keep the shaitan away from us. Okay? And keep the shaitan away from what you provide for us. Because this is a form of provision, risk, ni'mah, blessings. Okay? So Rasulullah said, if Allah decreed, and this shows that it's not because every time the man have intercourse with his wife, she's going to be pregnant, okay? But in Qudra, if Allah decrees through this relationship, okay, which he had uttered the Bismillah before it, now this will be a protection for that child, from the tricks of the shaitan. Hadith number 875, page number 361, عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه.